people using cell phones in worship, in service, and I get on to people sometimes for doing that. Or I'll come right in their space when I see them sitting there doing this, just let them know an old teacher is around. It's like in the classroom, you know? But what I was doing over there is this is my notepad. I keep my notes on here. So I'm not, people do try to text me during the service. You know, I don't figure that out either. Why would you try to text the pastor during a worship service? I don't know. Okay. Wow. I want to say this. That was a powerful word. That's a powerful word. We can be, the presence of God is about everything. It changes everything. But we can get accustomed to the presence of God, and therefore it doesn't change anything in us anymore. So we do have a word we want to share. I didn't think I was going to be able to share this word. Pastor Heath is, I think they're out of town. Jake's got some huge event going on, and they're trying to be with Jake today. But if you could put that scripture, not scripture, but that definition up there, Miss Lakin, and I appreciate, you see all the fresh gravel around. I appreciate that. Appreciate Henry skid steer. And I appreciate those people who've been doing projects around the facility, from mowing to, working on that, things that's done inside the building, cleaning, all those things. All those things are important. We don't see those things as being important, but they are vitally important, okay? So it's like keeping up with the house. You got to keep up with the house. How many knows you got to keep up with the house? Turn to somebody and say, keep up with the house. So I'm gonna share a scripture this morning with you, and the scripture that Mrs. R shared is very important, because the presence of the Lord was healed, there to heal. And without the presence of the Lord, we might as well just go on home. The Bible says in the last day, people would have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. So if you're just coming in name only and pretense only, and going through the motion, that's not doing you no good. You might well be home playing mumble peg, okay? Because the real thing happens when the presence of the Lord envelops the atmosphere and brings powerful change, okay? But I want you to turn in the book of Luke, chapter 7. We're going to go different places in Scripture. As Pastor Malou said, oh man, you missed it Wednesday night. You missed a meal. Woo! Wow. I was sitting there rubbing my spiritual belly, smiling like a possum been eating possum grapes. Brother Henry, you ever see a possum smile? How many's ever seen a possum smile before? Say, I've never been close enough to a possum to see him smile. They do smile. I guess that's what you call it. Okay, Luke chapter 7. Okay, chapter 7. And Mrs. R. probably helping with this. I don't know. I feel the least. I feel unworthy in myself to be about this powerful opportunity. And I'm not real young, even though I might be young in heart. I've been around the block a few times. Mrs. R. and I, this June, we'll celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. That's a few days. That's a few days. It don't seem like I'll be 50 years old. Boy, I remember the time I was slam-a-jamming. I was on the basketball court, and she was up there doing flips and cheering, rah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Come on, help me out. And then now, look at this. We got kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and a lot of extended kids. So when I share the things for you, I don't do it from a place of condescending attitude. I do it from a place of experience, love, and anointing. Okay? That's where I teach from. That's where I share from. So if you ever feel like you're being got on to, it's from a place of care, love, and not from a place of I know better than you. Although I have been around the block more than you. Have you ever heard that your parents say that before you? Before? Well, I've been there. Okay. But this is Luke chapter 7. So chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Can you say that with me? And if you want to stand for the reading of the Word of God, that's fine. You're not doing that for me. You're not honoring me. You're honoring the Word of God. This is no ordinary book. How many knows that this is no ordinary book? A few of you do. How about the rest of you? How many knows that this is the Word of the living God? It's infallible. There is no book like it. There is no word like it, because this is the Word of God. This is the Word of the Father. So this morning is powerfully important we understand that. So I keep getting these messages up like my storage is full. Okay. All right. Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 46. There's a lot of story here, and we won't read the whole thing, okay? Now, if I can get my eyes to focus. Say, bless Pastor R's eyes. They have age on them, okay? You'll know that. You'll get there. Hello, all you people sitting around, no glasses. Woo! Well, I'm glad I'm not like Pastor R. Oh, you'll get there. Okay. Wow. I didn't used to have this color hair either. You see what children do to you, don't you? Oh, Jesus. We'll get there. Okay. It's all right to laugh. Verse 44. It's just, you're right. Now, I'm reading this in the Passion, okay? I don't know. This is NLT. Well, let's read it in NLT, okay? Then he turned to the woman, and he being Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Everybody with me, okay? Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't even offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. When I came into the house, you didn't even know I was in the house. You know, we're living in a culture that don't even know when Jesus is around. Whoa, wow, wow, wow. Okay, 45. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. She can't stop kissing my feet. She can't stop adoring me. She can't stop lavishing me with her tears and her expression of worship. She can't stop. Woo! She can't stop. She can't stop. 46. But you neglected. Everybody say neglected. That's a key word, Bobby Pod. Neglected. Because in our faith, we can do the same thing. We can neglect the things that should not be neglected. And we can give place to the things that we need to ignore and kick off the boat. But it says, you neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. You may be seated. Amen. Woo, what a picture. How many sees that picture in your spirit this morning? Here's a woman who was a sinner. A sinner. Oh, why are them sinner people hanging out there at church? Where else you want them to be? Oh, half of this group wasn't even listening to me. You know what that is? That's familiarity. You become so familiar with this eagle's voice that you tune out a lot of what I say. Before God's word can change you, you've got to open your heart to it. Or it's like water on a duck's back. You ever hear that? Just rolls right off. When that word should be rolling in here. Because there's where the change. That were present when Jesus came into the room. Things happen, Jenny, when Jesus comes into the room. I love it, sweet head. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm this age. And sometimes people get real frustrated because they can't mold me into the mold they think I'm going to be. Listen, you're going to spend a lot of time trying to mold me. The only one who can mold me is Jesus. Amen? So you got to just get used to my quirkiness, okay? If you haven't done it so far, you're going to go batty, okay? I promise you, it's all good, though. So here a sinner was that shouldn't be in this place. There are people I hear in community circles who say that sinners should not be here. But see, we're guilty of categorizing sinners. You know. Well, I just told a lie when I was a kid. So I'm a sinner. Well, I don't do drugs and I'm not in perverted affairs and all these kinds of crazy things. So, you see, but we've all sinned. We've all been where this woman has been. How many knows that? We've all come short. We've all missed the mark. That's what sin is. It's missing the mark. It's shooting the arrow and missing the target. That's what sin is. But nevertheless, this woman, she came and she was a sinner and she took a risk. When people come in the doors of this room, of this facility, I want them to feel something. I don't want them to feel rejection. I don't want them to feel criticism. I don't want them to feel judgment. I want them to feel the love and the presence of God Almighty. I want them to know there is something. There is something in this atmosphere. There is something in this room that moves me. I don't know it, what it is. I don't understand it, but I can sit there and be broken and tears fall down from my eyes. I know that I haven't got it all figured out. I know I mess up. I know I still come short, but yet I'm in the presence of Jesus and I know that my life will change. Amen. My life will change. Hallelujah. But this woman was in not a common place for her to be in, because she had a reputation. You know, over the years, I promise you I'm going to get where I'm going. Every year that teachers would come to me and they'd bring their list of homeroom students, and they'd already be going through the kids' files of previous years. And they saw all the MO, all the records of those kids, their mess ups, their up and downs. They saw where those kids were. And what teachers or educators sometimes can be guilty of, making assumptions upon those records, because your records come with you. Your junk comes with you. When you come to Jesus, guess what? You brought your junk with you. But when you encounter him, something changes. So when you leave, you ought to leave your junk behind and still embrace Jesus. I'm going to say something, it's going to sound arrogant, but that's good preaching. And some of you don't even realize it's good preaching. If I had to say it myself, okay? Hallelujah. So here we have this atmosphere with Jesus' presence. His critics and his naysayers and those that loved him were sitting at this table. Sitting at this table, people standing around, and they see this woman who was a sinner come, and she just lavishly pours everything out on Jesus. And there were people said, if Jesus would have known what type of woman this was. Do you know there are people tell me that? Pastor R, do you not know those people? Let me tell you, I get calls from local ministries that say, this person doesn't fit in our ministry, but I believe they would fit in your ministry. You know what? I thank God for that. Listen, because see, I can love the sinner but not love the sin. I can love you but not love your junk. I don't love the junk that Jesus died for. But I'll guarantee you this, I'll love you. I love you. And if I get in your grill about your junk and your sin, it's because I love you too much to leave you where you are. If you love somebody, you don't want to leave them broken and messed up and down in their life. You want to see a life of restoration and healing. There's so much in this. Wow, wow, wow. There's so much in this. Isn't your spiritual wheels just turning? Just like that, Mrs. R. So, yes. And then she broke open that jar. You know what kind of jar it was? That was an expensive vessel to hold this costly perfume in, or an ointment. In other words, she was pouring out everything she had. She was giving her all. God's asking you today, are you pouring everything out to him? Or are you saving some for yourself? Huh? There's a risk in that. Because if I pour everything out, I become vulnerable. Listen, God knows your stuff anyway. He knows where you've been last night. He knows where you were a year ago. He knows where you were 10 years ago. He knows what tree you were hiding under. He knows what cave you were in. God knows everything about you. And yet, Bobby, he chose to love you, brother. Sometimes you need to share with people the road you had to get where you're sitting, right there where you're sitting. An orphan, adopted, brought up, broken, filled with chaos and trouble. Oh, he could give a teacher a fit in school. He gave the principals a fit in school. He was in trouble more than he was not. He loved to fight, but he had caged up in him a life of anger, a life of issues. Let me tell you something. God knows what's caved up in you. You quit pretending and hiding and acting like you got it all together. What God wants is your openness. He wants your openness. In fact, we all been broken. And he's still working on me. He's still working on me. So here we have this powerful picture. This powerful picture of this woman who couldn't walk into the room when Jesus came. And she couldn't stop giving Jesus her worship. You know, Brother Steve said that Jenny up here was the ambassador of praise. You got to know where somebody's been before you can understand their praise. You've got to understand their story. And if you don't understand their story and you're judging their praise and their worship, then you just don't understand it at all. You've got to be in where they've been. You've got to been down the road they've been in. You've got to be in some pits and dark places like they've been. And then when God does get a hold of their heart, you'll understand the depth of their worship and praise. Never. Never criticize somebody for their passion and worship. Oh, yeah, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit. Never. Never criticize somebody. Never sit around and judge somebody and say, I don't understand why they're doing that. You know why you don't understand? Because you've not been where they've been. You've not sat where they've sat. You've not done the junk they've done. You've not been in the mess they've been in. When you understand that, you'll praise right along with them. You'll praise right along with them. I'm proud of you, sweetie. Hallelujah. I'm proud of you. Don't let the devil rob you of something you were meant to give to a holy God. Ooh. Everybody in that room should have got that, but they didn't. But one sinful creature that probably some people would have said, something smelling in this room. Who's this woman? Law. Don't she know? Don't she know what this is about? You know, sometimes we can understand that. I know kids don't understand everything about worship. And we've got to just sort of reel them in sometimes because they get a little bit, you know how kids are. You know, we all these kids up here worshiping flags and some of them get it, some of them don't. But I tell you, they won't forget it. They won't forget it. They may move to California. They may move to the Philippines. But they'll remember a little crazy church up in the hills of Norton in Southwest Virginia where I could be free to express my worship. You see, worship isn't a grown-up thing. Worship is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. So I can tolerate the little wildness sometimes, because even adults get a little wild sometimes. But it's all good. Say, it's all good. Thank you for that image. So where does that put me today? This atmosphere of powerful worship, things were changing. But everybody didn't get the picture. And it's sad because everybody around you will not get the picture. And you think they've got the picture. You think they got it all together. But Jesus said, their hearts are far from me. It may look like they've got it all together, but their hearts are far from me. I'm not saying that Jesus was ignoring, and neither do we, the presence of sin in the atmosphere presence of God. But Jesus is the cure for that sin. Do you know that? We've spent decades and centuries trying to clean people up, trying to make things better. We put religious jargon on them. We put suits on them. We give them titles and we give them roles. But it's only God. That stuff don't change you. It's only the presence of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, that will totally bring change to your life. And by the way, we're all being changed from glory to glory. That's what the word says. From level to level, God's changing us all. You may be a little further up the road than your neighbor, and you may be a little behind your neighbor. But the fact is, we all have the same privilege. So I'm going to talk to you. Can you put the definition up again? Because we can talk about the woman. Man, we can preach about that woman. We can write books about that woman, and there have been. I promise you. We can sing songs about this woman. Oh, we can, man. She gave it all. She poured it out. You're a worshiper, buddy. You've always been a worshiper. You've always been a worshiper. Don't let this guy fool you. Sometimes you think, well, man, he's just tough old Will. Listen, this guy been through a lot of stuff, and life in a lot of ways has toughened him up. But deep within his heart, there's a powerful heart of worship. And that's been transposed over into his music. Will gets in another zone in his music. Because, see, he's breaking open his alabaster box. And he's pouring it out upon Jesus. And we get that about that woman. What powerful things were happening in that moment. And she didn't quit crying and pouring out her tears upon Jesus. She didn't quit kissing his feet. Wow. Think about that. I wouldn't kiss anybody's old dirty feet. When I was a kid, we grew up with something called sacrament service with old time foot washing. I don't know if any of you new cats know anything about that. But That's real stuff now, because you just had worship and you had sacrament, and then you just washed your brother's feet. And if you've been mad at your brother, that came out during the foot wash. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a basin up here. And I'm going to pour water in it. I'm going to say, if you love me, you'll come and you'll wash my feet. Oh, that'll separate. We did that one time at the old church, and a lot of people, some people were about it. You know, we separate the men from the women. The women wash women and the men wash men. But, you know, there's some people just stood around in the back of the church and just watched on. Hallelujah. How can you stand in the background and just watch on When you stand in the background and watch on, what you set yourself up to be is a critic, an antagonist, someone who just sees the fault and not catches the moment. God wants you to catch the moment. Worship is a participating activity, not a spectator sport, okay? Oh, Jesus, we're getting there, okay, I promise you. Because the real meat of what we're talking about is the other people in the room. Because Jesus made reference to it. He says, when I come, can you go back to those verses? Oh, let's read this verse. Familiarity. Everybody say that. That's a tongue twister, I know. Can everybody say it with me? Familiarity. Okay. And it comes from the root word, familiar. 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 Let's just park here just a second. Listen. You remember Christmas, getting your favorite Christmas thing? If you were blessed to get something at Christmas. I know my mama could tell me that they only got a little sock with an orange or something in it at best. But I'm saying the more modern culture, when you get something you've wanted and you finally open that present up under the tree and you see that thing, your eyeballs pop out. You jump up and down. I remember our kids doing that. I remember the grandkids doing that. And I remember Sam, whoa, where'd that come from? Jesus, where'd that come from? Okay, Sam must be thinking about me, whoever Sam is. But Willow and Ben, and they're in some of the other grandkids too. Noah's the same way, and some of the other grandkids, I know, but when they open up things, it's like they had $1 million wrapped up. And it could be just a little toy soldier, and they open that up, and they say, whoa, that's just what I wanted, Granddaddy. Oh, how awesome that is. But how special that gift was you got. I mean, you couldn't put it down. It's like this woman. You opened up something to your life that changed your life, and you couldn't put it down. You played with it all the time. You took it to bed with you. You carried it on trips. Kept it in the car. Tried to take it to school. You wanted to show your other friends. You wanted to show your mammals, your papas. You wanted to show your aunts and uncles. You wanted to show your dog Bart. You just wanted everybody to know about that special thing you had. So it is when we come to Jesus. Remember those days when you come to Jesus? Every song was different. I remember people's testimonies telling me when they first come to Lost Creek and they heard this powerful sound and worship in here and this encounter with God and the presence of God was just charging the atmosphere. They got a hold of Jesus and they'd leave and they put it on Facebook. They put it on the world. Whoa, what a sign. I've never been anything like that. I've never seen anything like that. I've never witnessed anything like that. But over a period of time, that which has been new to you suddenly loses its glimmer and shine. Because we get familiar with it. The same songs that used to move us don't move us anymore. The same sermons that used to stir our heart don't stir us anymore. The same testimonies that used to make us break down and just cry. The same things in the atmosphere that just make us want to hug and love everybody doesn't happen anymore. Because we become familiar with the atmosphere. And in that moment, we can call the things that are holy common. That's a dangerous place to be. Because it's in those places that our spiritual life begins to slip and we begin to substitute things of less significance for those things that once moved us and changed us. We can come and we say, well, if I don't feel the Lord today, I'll be next week. Bless the Lord. But listen, this may be your last day on this planet. So will your last moment on this planet, where we are blessed beyond measure. We are so blessed to be in this type of atmosphere, where we can all together of one mind and one accord lavish the Lord with our worship. We can hear His unadulterated word. We can be moved. We can make conscious decisions to change our life. When you first get saved, you can hear a song, "Mary Had a Little Lamb," and you just start breaking down and crying, because first thing you think about is the lamb. You think about Mary. Yes, 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 yes. You know what I'm talking about. Don't sit back there acting like you got it all together. You know what I'm talking about. And everybody at that moment is excited. This woman was excited. For the first time in her life, she was being received. And she was breaking open. And there was experiencing this powerful moment in her life that was forever going to change her life. Don't ever take for granted. You know, when we buy a new car, how many's in here had a newer car? It may not be totally brand new. I think my dad in his whole lifetime had one total brand new car. The rest of them, you know, had miles on them. But yet, when you buy that new vehicle, or you buy that new home, or you buy that new horse, or you buy that new billy goat, or you buy that new whatever, you buy that new purse, you buy that new set of clothes, you put it on, you can smell the newness, you feel the newness. It's awesome. We used to get a newer car, and Jenny and Will get in, and Jenny and Will, woo, here I am. Jenny and Heath, when they were young, get in the car. I turn around. I say, "Are your feet clean? Come on, get out of the car and get the mud off your feet. Because it was new. You all know what I'm talking about. You take care of something better when it's new." How many knows what I'm talking about? When it's fresh, when it's new, you have a tendency to care more about it. You shine it up more. Polish it more. My truck, I don't know when it's been washed. Probably over a year. There was a time in my life, Joyce, I never looked my car. Every week I was shining those wheels, man. I was putting black stuff on my, make it the tires look real black, you know. Shining that chrome up. I was cleaning on the inside. You know, I thought my car drove better and ran better when it was clean. Anybody know what I'm talking? Am I the only one who thinks thoughts like that? It's like you're stepping into a brand new car all over again, Sister Rubel. You know what? There are people who get to a place in their spiritual life where the things that are holy and the things that are sacred becomes familiar to it. And we lose its newness, and it loses its shine and its glimmer, and we start treating it different than we were. We start neglecting it. So at one time, you know, Heath used to say, when he went to the old church about 2010 or something, when he came back to the Lord, and man, he got a hold of Jesus. He got a hold of Jesus, and there's so much Jesus in him, you'd almost see a neon sign just lighten up like this over him. Jesus, 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 you know. But it was so, he experienced things like the baptism of the Holy Ghost and powerful things happening in his life. And it was so new to him, so fresh, that he couldn't stop. He even made a comment to his mom and myself. He said, "Dad, why do we only have church 2 times a week? But when the newness wears off, why do we have to have church 1 time a week? That's too much. It's messing with my schedule. It's messing with my calendar." Because we're to a place where The thing that is holy has become common to us, and it's lost its glimmer. It's lost it. Trish, oh, can I? I won't embarrass you. I promise. I'll try not to, okay? But remember when you were working up at the, Glass Slipper, and her schedule wasn't conducive to worship here. But she said, Mommy, I got to go to Jesus' house. That's what Ben calls his place. Josh, Jesus' house. I tell everybody say Jesus' house. In a way, this is Jesus' house, because all of Jesus' people come together under this one roof, and we consecrated as Jesus' house. I don't know about you, but I want to be where Jesus is. Listen, I know this is not the only place Jesus is today. He's all over the world. He's all over the universe. He's all over the world. But I know one thing, he's here today. And if you're not sensing that, maybe you're calling that which is holy common. Maybe this message is not registering in you. Maybe you're clicking pause, pause, pause. But, wow, he said, Mom and Dad, we don't have church enough. You can't get enough. Like Trish, she'd tell her mom, or she wouldn't tell her. Mom said, well, I guess you can't be here because, you know, your schedule. Oh, no, I'm going to come. And there are a lot of times that she left, she came home, and she was sitting there just looking at her clock. Not because she was in a hurry to leave, just because she knew she couldn't be late. And she was trying to get every moment, every minute, every second she could. She didn't want to leave the atmosphere because something was happening in this atmosphere that had changed her life. I'm going to say something. There are things happen here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, remnant after remnant that has potential of changing your life. But have we got to a place that we've become familiar with it? So let's go back to the definition, and I'm winding this thing down. Oh, hallelujah. So, what we often have to do in our Christian experience is not just experience one anointing, but to be freshly anointed. You see, that's what people miss out on. Well, I got saved 80 years ago. Bless the Lord. Well, thank God for that. But where is your passion today? Where is your fire today? Where is your love today? Where is your worship today? It matters not how many years ago you embraced Jesus. Does he mean the same to you today? Hallelujah. Are you with me, Bob the Builder? I see, man, them knees are moving. Are you ready to get charged out of here and take you about 3 or 4 laps? Okay, I hope that's. But look at familiarity. It's close acquaintance with or knowledge of something. We can take things for granted. In our marital relationships, be with me, okay? This is important, guys. This is important stuff. It's a little bit different. You say, Pastor, you're not swinging from the chandeliers. We don't have chandeliers. You're not jumping on pews. You're not running around the church. You're not in people's grill. You're not getting people up and down. Listen, I know that, but this is as Pastor Malou said this other day, this is a teach, preach moment, okay? So I want you to understand this. I want you to get this because I want change to happen. I want, when you leave here today, I want you to have a fresh perspective of your relationship with Jesus, and don't ever take that for granted. Because if you're in a place you're taking Jesus for granted, that is a dangerous place to be in, my friend. And I've taken Jesus for granted. You may never admit it, but I have. There have been times that the word didn't mean as much to me. There have been times that worship didn't move me as much as it should have had. There have been times, yes, you know, over the years that I said, oh, do I have to go and preach today? Oh, why couldn't I be out there fishing somewhere? like all the other crazies. No, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that way. But why? There have been times that I've taken things for granted. I mean, there are times that we take our parents for granted. I mean, mom and dad is going to be there. You know, I used to think about my parents. My parents are eternal, and they are in Jesus. But I used to think, well, they're going to be around all the time. I'm going to enjoy mom's biscuits right on till Jesus comes. You know, I'm going to enjoy her dumplings and her spaghetti. I'm going to enjoy her conversations. That sometime as years went by in my busy schedule, she'd call me late at night, and I thought, there was a slight annoyance there on my part. Yeah. Mom and Dad's gonna always be there. Dad's gonna always be there. He's gonna be the one that comes over and fixes my car when I need to fix. He's gonna be the one that's there to work on my house projects. And the investment he made into our lives, he's one that's we're gonna call at 12 o'clock at night over in Wayland, Kentucky, where the Volkswagen broke down. Imagine a little Volkswagen Bug being broke down. We can't go anywhere, but we're stuck in Wayland, Kentucky. And Dad, we need your help. And Dad just put his clothes on and drive an hour and a half and come over and get a little Volkswagen Bug. And he didn't say a word about it, except, why are you over here in Wayland, Kentucky? To watch a basketball game, Dad. Oh, but you see, now, if I could only hear my mom pray again, if I could only have a conversation with Dad again, if I could only sit down at dinner with him, I know I'm going to one day. I know one day, everybody shout one day. Yeah, one day will be like no other day. And I'll get to greet them again and know them as they are. Under a whole set of different circumstances. But I miss those times. But there are times in my life that I took them for granted. That they'd always be there. Never take your parents for granted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you want, change your heart and change your mind. You love those that God has given charge over you. Listen, I know that. I hope this is helping somebody in this room today. Because it may change the way we worship God. It may change the time that when we're in the presence of God, we don't take the presence of God for granted. We won't stay there playing on our phones. We won't sit there conversing. We won't sit there looking at shopping lists. We won't sit there shopping on Amazon. We won't sit there conversing with friends, but we'll sit there with the Word of God open and say, God, I thank you that you love me enough today that you sent me in the fall and you're feeding me today. Let me tell you what some people, why they don't take for granted. There are people in third world countries that will walk 20 miles and begin a journey that takes hours just to enter one worship service where the atmosphere is charged with Jesus. I've read stories of people walking up to 10 miles just to get a page of the Word because there was a shortage of Bibles. So what they had to do was take the Bibles and unbind them and pull out pages because there was such hunger for the Word of God. And today we've got a room full of Bibles. We got a house full of Bibles. And because every time we sit down and hear God's Word, there have been times in my life that every word that He spoke to me brought about a weightiness and heaviness. And I would just start breaking and crying. when I open his word, begin to read. As it was in Ezra, when they began to rebuild and reestablish the temple, and they set up the pulpit, and the priest stood up and began to read the word, because the word was lost for a long time. The word was lost, and they didn't have the word. But when they began to stand up and read the word, Kevin, people just stood there and began to weep. They didn't look at their watches and say, how long do we have to endure this? No, they were there, and they were hungry, and they wanted the word of God, because they knew that word was going to bring change to their lives. We can take our spouses for granted. There was a time when I wanted so to impress her, I opened the door every time she got in the car. I break my neck going around the other side just to open that door, because I so wanted to impress this beautiful. I've been seeing those old pictures on Time Hop that she's brought back, and this beautiful little country girl weighed about 95 pounds soaking wet, but man, she was beautiful. Some of you act like, oh, Pastor, why are you talking too much? You need to talk a little mushy to the one sitting next to you. I won't charge you for that. That's not... Okay, think about this. But when we started dating, man, I so wanted to impress her and her parents. That was important. That's important, Josh. I couldn't just impress her, but I impressed the home that I was permitted to come and court her at. I know you don't call that anymore. Okay, you don't call it court, sparking. You call it what? Hanging out? What do you call it? Huh? Oh, some people just call it talking. Okay. Okay, well. All right, I could go somewhere there, but I won't. Because I'm afraid your little religious ears wouldn't handle it. Oh, Jesus, help us all. But listen, there are times I'd take an old car or my dad's car, because I didn't have my own. And I would go, I would bust my knuckles. I would bring blood on my knuckles. I'd have scrapes and cuts on my arm trying to get to that car, every little inch of it. I want every part of it to shine, because I wanted to press her. There are times when we've been that way with Jesus. He was so important to us that nothing else mattered. My mission that day was to get to Jesus. That's what that woman's mission was. My life is messed up, and all I know I need to do, if I can get to this blind man healer, this leper cleanser, this man that rose the dead, I know my life can be different. I'd shine my car up, and I'd go pick her up in that car, and she'd make over the car. Boy, that made me feel good. Toby, oh, where's Toby? That made me feel good. That made me feel good. There was a time that I had a serious ligament injury, and the doctor said basketball is a season toward the tail end of the season, about February, 1st of February, that he said it'd been better if you broke your ankle. But I had so many tendons stretched, I had so many issues with my foot, and I had to go to see special doctors every day and get all kinds of treatments. But when I started getting a little bit better and I could use crutches, I'd walk a mile in 8 inches of snow on a crutch just to get to her house so I could see the one I love. Oh, come on, Steve. You know what I'm talking about. You got that little smear smile on your face. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. You're the motorcycle rider. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, but I wanted to impress her. And she was shocked when I knocked on the door, standing there with crutches on. What are you doing here? You shouldn't have walked out of that holler. You shouldn't have walked in that cold and snowy weather. I just wanted to be near the one I love. That's the picture of that woman. She just wanted to be near the one she loved. Do you want to be near the one you love today? Then if you do, then nothing else matters. This don't matter. This don't matter. Your mess don't matter. Just get to Jesus. Have you a moment with Jesus? Because if it's about that, none of the other stuff in your life will matter. I promise you, there'll be a day coming in our lives that we look back, nothing else mattered. A lot of this craziness that we put our life in will not matter. All that matters. Jesus in that moment. Oh, because we realize the moment. And we realize that this changes. This has the potential of changing our lives. And so today you say, well, I'm sort of there, Pastor. I've been there too. And I want you to forgive me, sweetie, because there are times that I have to say, I'm sorry to her, Preston, because I've taken her for granted. But I've talked to people who've lost companions. I've talked to people who've lost loved ones. I can't make it. I can't make it. My life is different. My life is broken. I feel it's out of control. We've got a moment, church. We've got a moment. We've got a season. We've got a time. Don't ever take this time for granted. You love enough that you're giving a lot of hugs through the day. You're a gift to me, sweetie. You are. Don't look like I'm crazy. Don't look like I'm crazy. You know what we need to do? We need to grab Jesus like that. Today we need to say, thank you, Jesus. I don't want to let go. I don't want to let go. I can't do enough. I can't say enough. I can't worship enough. I can't read and embrace enough. Take our kids. And I thought our kids would always be small. And I see pictures of them. And every now and then I'll shed a tear. Every now and then I'll shed a tear because I see those kids small. I see those kids playing around, jumping around in the house. I know they were destructive at times. I know at times they got on my nerves. I know at times I sent them to Mama, okay? But listen, I look back and I see them and I say, Lord, where did all those years go? I wish I had them small again. I could have said more. I could have done more. I could have experienced more. But now they've got kids of their own, raising their own families. As he's raising his own grandkids. I've got a son that's got grandkids. Wow, Scott, that's crazy, man. That's crazy, Jane. We got a son that's got grandkids. Never take the Lord for granted. Never take his presence or his glory for granted. Experience this. Lavish it, and you'll say, well, Pastor, I'll be real with you. Because, see, when we've lost when it becomes familiar with us and it loses its stardom, it loses its luster and wonder, then what happens is it does something called breeding contempt. And that's a word, it's a negative word in one sense, because this is where we can all be. The feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration. If we're sitting in that place this morning today, then the message that once moved you will be like this. Instead of going here, it'll go over here. And that's why we find ourselves, when the word's being preached, we're sitting there shopping on Amazon. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Everybody shout, Jesus.
Jesus.
You say, Pastor, that's a little bit tough. It's a little bit tough. A little bit heavy. Oh, we need this moment. We need this time. We need this experience this woman had with this in the presence of Jesus. The feeling that a person or thing is beneath consideration. It's worthless or deserving of scorn. So when we say familiarity, and this is not just something I've said, breeds contempt. That means when we become so familiar with it, it loses its meaning. And therefore it sets the stage up for us to be critical. Yes. To murmur and complain. Yes. Oh, when you're hungry, you're not complaining about the food you're eating. I promise you, if you're real hungry, you're not complaining. You're not complaining about the worship. You're not complaining about the experience with Jesus. You're not complaining. You're not complaining about the time. Have we been here too long or this or that? Whoa, 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 whoa. We're not complaining, because if you're in a place of hunger and thirst in that moment, then you're about that. Amen. Your heart's about it. And we all have been there. I owned it first. That we've all been there at times. And so, and I want to do this sometimes. Maybe we'll do this as we're closing with this. We can take our pastors for granted. Can I be real with you today? You didn't think you'd ever hear me say that, didn't you? You can take them for granted. You can take the man of God for granted. You can take those things for granted. God put that in your life, in your place in your life. And I'm not tooting my horn, but I said, you, God put that opportunity. Pastor Heath, Pastor R, Pastor Kathy, this ministry team, he put those opportunities in front of you so that the Lord not would try to dominate your life or control your life, but that the Lord, through the obedience of the word, could feed your soul. That's what the Lord said. He set over you shepherds for the edifying of your spirit and your life. Amen. So hopefully that maybe changed the way when pastor's sending you text. Oh, that's just old Pastor R, you know. We'll answer that later. Listen, I know you're getting texts. Do you not think I know you're getting messages? But in a place of familiarity, it's not as important. When we first come to Jesus, oh, whoa, wow, the pastor just texted me. Whoa, did you see this? Save it right here. Mark it right here. But when we get in a place of familiarity, watch this, Pastor, I'll answer later. That later turns into a week, 2 weeks, a day, 2 days, 3 days. And what I'm saying, I'm not giving you a hard time, but what I'm saying is, we can never take for granted the thing that is holy. The thing is holy is not common. The presence of Jesus was not a common thing. And that day, that woman embraced that, and she discovered it. The very thing she embraced changed her life. And I'm thankful. I don't want to ever take you all for granted. You're important to me. You're important to our family. You're important to Mrs. R. We spent time praying. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about this woman. She is a praying woman. That's one of her greatest strengths. She prays. She prays for me. And Lord, I need it. But she is a praying woman. Let's never take that which God has given us to bless us with for granted. Let's never become so familiar with it that we call it just a common thing. Because it'll lose its power and significance in our life. And it sets us up for greater things. There's so many other things I'd like to go into, but I'm not going to today. Hopefully everybody got the message. I hope everybody got the message. Well, I know it wasn't a shouting message. Not a lot of people standing up during the message. Like that, sometimes we gauge the success of a message by how much people respond. The place I need you to respond is right here in your heart. I've seen people jump all over the room and not get a tiddlywink, whatever that means, out of what I said. When this word, I want you to remember this word next week, next month. I want you to remember this word. Don't ever take this ministry or the work that God's doing or the people in this work, even our children that we've been blessed with. Look at little Olivia. Wow, you know, she's getting a big girl and she's going to graduate. Man, she's going off to tech and she's doing all these things. But you know, I remember her praying for the Holy Ghost at an altar in an old church up there at Stevens. And just, man, God slamming her with the Holy Ghost. I remember a little girl, just, you know, she's real shy, real reluctant, and Jenny will just keep pushing her. Come on now, you got some stuff inside you. You're going to praise and worship God. And finally got her, because she was singing in the big leagues, you know. The older kids were singing at that time. But she began to step out. And now I see her blossoming into a young woman ready to go out and embark on a new world. I can't ever take that for granted. I don't know how much she ever listened to me pulling her aside and say, Livia, there's a word inside you. And that word has got to be dramatized. It's got to be brought forth. You got to do it in that creative gift that's inside you. I look at little Emma Wiley back there, that at one moment or time that her life was not, you know, doctors didn't give her a lot down in Knoxville, and laying there in a hospital bed not knowing, and this family going to war with her, for her, the church going to war with her, having praise and worship meetings at home, and that young lady that probably shouldn't have been here today, but today, look here, pretty soon she's going to be graduating, she's grown up, and Mrs. R showed me a picture of her on Facebook, and I said, what? Is that her? No, that couldn't be her. She's grown up. She's not that little girl like Olivia. Like our buddy has a birthday today. Where is he? Oh, he's in children's church. Wow. Lord Jesus. And this is my prayer this morning. As David was anointed more than one time in his life, he was anointed three specific times. First by Samuel, when God told him to take the horn of the oil and go and anoint himself a king. And he was sent to anoint David, at that time a little rudely boy, about 13 years of age. But he knew that this man would change the world. So he was not just anointed that time, but he was anointed by Heber, and he was anointed by his own people when he became king. But the powerful significance about this is Psalms 92 and 10. His cry was, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Renew my strength like the strength of the ox. Give me renewed strength. Give me renewed purpose. Give me renewed passion. Give me renewed fire. That when I come here, I'm not just sitting here, but I feel what is coming forth here. I sense the power of this atmosphere. I know that God is doing something here because it changed my life. Potentially, it's going to change others' lives. Even though you may be sitting in a different place, every new person that comes through that door potentially will embrace the same thing. And you know what I hear from some of these testimonies? Like I heard from you all not too awful long ago. Wow, Pastor R, I've never been around anything like that. That's crazy. That is good. I just feel like I could be about that all day long. Didn't you not say something similar to that? I just believe I could be about that all day long. When it's fresh to you, that's what you want. But what you got to do as a believer, we're closing. What you got to do here is keep it fresh. Turn to somebody and say, keep it fresh. And not in a bad sense, but like I tried to be fresh with her, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Keep your relationships fresh. Toby, keep your relationship fresh. Keep the romance in it. We're about Jesus, but we've lost the romance. We've lost the sparkle in our eyes. We just sit around and look at Jesus and say, whoa, Jesus, I just love you. I could just be in your presence all day long. Oh, sweetie, I just love you. And her mother had to drive me out of the house because I've been there I don't know how many hours, but I just didn't want to leave. I just didn't want to stop. All I had to do, Joseph, was just look at her eyes, just hold her hands. Maybe a kiss every now and then, okay? Oh, I know, you're not supposed to, you don't talk like that, Pastor Orr. So today, can we get some fresh stuff? Can we get a hold of something fresh today? I hate stale bread. There's nothing like a good, fresh loaf of bread. Yeah, I'm not pushing a brand, but like Grant, like that old-fashioned Kern sandwich bread. Thin, but man, it's soft as it can be, Jason. Put you a big slab of bologna on there. Put those breads together. Man, you got you a sandwich. Stephanie, have you ever had a bologna sandwich before? Come on. Nothing like a good, fresh bologna sandwich. Put you a big right mater on that and a big slice of onion. Put you a little salt on that. Woo! Wow-wee. There's nothing like being in the presence of Jesus where he's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He's the bread that gives you life, Gary. Nothing like sitting in the presence of the bread of life. Amen. Feasting at his table. Woo! Experiencing his glory and his presence. Today, if you haven't experienced that in a while, say, God, give me fresh oil. Make it fresh. Make my relationship with you fresh today. Fresh. You know what that trip down there in Georgia? You know what that trip down there was about? It's about you getting a hold of something fresh. Hallelujah. Getting a hold of something fresh. Getting a hold of something fresh. Today we need to get a hold of something fresh. Get rid of your stale bread. Get rid of your stale bread. Pose it. Everybody smell. Take a whiff. Come on. Come on, take a whiff. Some of you all just sitting there just like a knot on a log. Come on. Take a whiff. You smell that, Henry? You like fresh cornbread, brother? You probably don't. No, you don't like cornbread. You heard that, Becky. Twice a day, he's going to have cornbread. Smell it. I smell fresh bread. Do you smell that? Smell. Man, I smell bread, not just from any oven. I smell fresh bread from heaven. Smell. Nothing smells anything like it. Woo, nothing smells like this bread. Get you some fresh bread today. Come on, fresh bread. Fresh oil. Some new wine. Come on. Right now. Right now in the presence of Jesus. Right now in this room. There's somebody that needs something fresh in your life. I want you to be real with me today. God intricately, specifically, sent you a very pinpoint word today to you. What will you do with that word today? What will you do with it? Will you just set it down and mark it there? Will, that's a good word, Pastor R. Or will you embrace that and say, God, I need freshness in my life. I need a fresh loaf of bread. I need some fresh oil over me today. Anoint me with fresh oil, Lord. Renew my strength. If you need something fresh and new in your life, renewed in your life, slip your hand up with me and say, Pastor, I need a fresh loaf of bread today. I need a fresh anointing. I need fresh oil over my life. Come on, be real with me. We can't sit there like we got our life together. Like we got our life together. We can take things for granted. We can take things for granted. So today, be real. Say, Pastor R, I need some freshness in my life. Come on, be real. I'm not sitting up here counting your hands and counting your head. Say, well, listen, that's between you and God. It really doesn't matter. I just need something fresh in my life. Quit substituting things for what Jesus can only take in your life. Quit trying to fill your life with Jesus, with men, with other things, with relationships, with things, with money, with clothes, with things like that. Listen, none of that stuff matters. None of